So we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Learn Le'iloi Nishmas. Jake's beloved parents, Leah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshamas should have an aliyah. We are now up to the 16th Mishnah in the 5th chapter of Perkei Avos, a famous Mishnah. Perhaps you've come across it before, but it's just going to discuss different types of love, contrasting the love of Amnon and Tamar as a paradigm versus the love of David and Yehonasan as a contrasting paradigm. But as we are going to discuss, it's not so clear, it's not so simple as one might believe in terms of what the message of the Mishnah is, and there's going to be multiple interpretations. Hopefully by the end of either this week or next week, we will have some practical application in terms of what love might mean in our own lives, but for now we're at least going to start with trying to understand the Mishnah on its own before we get to some practical application. So as we go through the Mishnah, let's keep in mind various different questions, running themes of questions that we've seen in the past. In terms of where this Mishnah is in the big picture of chapter 5, we are now finished with the series of Mishnayos that deal with the lists of four different types of people. So it's four different types of people who give tzedakah, four different types of people in terms of those who are in the classroom and different ramifications of that, four different temperaments when it comes to anger. So we had a whole bunch of Mishnayos that dealt with those four, the Mishnah's textual similarities between comparing four different types of people. And here we start transitioning towards the end of the chapter to a different style. So this style here, starting here with Ahava, next Mishnah we'll be talking about Machlokes, dispute. But in terms of the love, so Kol, let's read it inside. Kol Ahava shehi teluya bedavar, batal davar batla habetela ha'ava. So if you have a love that is dependent on something, question that we're going to have to ask is, what is that something? Does it matter what that something is? But if you have a love that is dependent on something, if and when that something disappears, ceases to be, then the love itself will cease to be as well. So that we would call dependent love. In contrast to that, it's she'ena tluya bedavar. If the love does not depend on anything, eina betela la'olam, it will never cease to be. As I read that, I might question, what does that mean that it doesn't depend on anything? Is it possible that love has no conditions to it at all? Is that a reality? Are there no exceptions to that? But that's just how my mind is going. But let us keep that in the back of our mind, at least in terms of the bigger picture, is we need to define what dependency or independency of love on something else is. What is this something else? And can love literally be something that transcends all possible contingencies and dependencies? But the Mishnah now gives us an example of each. What is an example of love that is dependent on something? Ezehi ahava hatuluya badavar, zu ahavas Amnon v'Tamar. That is the love of Amnon for Tamar. Now, Tamar did not love Amnon, so it is not a mutual love of Amnon and Tamar, but it is the infatuation that Amnon had for Tamar that is dependent on something. What is that dependent on? So we'll elaborate on that, but we're going to assume for now that it is a clue to help us understand, or this example that the Mishnah gives might help us understand what the dependency is. And so the example might be not just one particular example, but might be illustrative of the broader concept in terms of this is what the whatever Amnon dependent, whatever love dependency his love had on Tamar, that might be what we mean in general in terms of love being dependent on something else. But maybe not. Maybe it's just one example, but not an exhaustive example. And then finally, v'she'ena tliya bedavar. What is a love that is not dependent on anything? That is the love of David and Yehonasan. So the love in that David and Yehonasan had, that Yehonasan had for David, perhaps that David had back for Yehonasan, or those might be There might be some level of imbalance in that relationship as well. But that relation, that between the relationship between both of those people is the paradigm of a love that is not dependent on anything else. So, obviously, it would be helpful to go into Navi and really analyze what these examples are, right? So we can go and open up a Navi and really read in depth how Amnon and Tamar interacted with each other, and that would probably help us understand why the Mishnah is using this as an example. And it would probably be helpful to open up a Navi and look at how David and Yehonasan interacted with each other, and that might be something that we'll do next week, but we're not going to do it this week. Okay, for now, we're going to start with the classical commentaries that assume that we have a general broad picture, and we could perhaps from our previous knowledge, without going in depth in text, we at least are aware of some of the connections that David and Yehonasan had. So David obviously wanted, David was going to be king, and his taking over of the throne would actually take that away from Yehonasan. Yehonasan was Shaul's son. So David and Yehonasan were very close, obviously, here. They're very close friends. You can see that they loved each other on a very strong level, and we call that not dependent on anything. And we'll have to see what that really, why this is an example of that. And Amnon and Tamar was more of Amnon's infatuation and passion to his half sister Tamar was something that was a little bit more unhealthy. And was something that we don't necessarily look at as being a paradigm of how we want love, romantic love, friendship love, any type of love to be. Again, we might look in the stories next week a little bit to flesh that out. But for now, that's enough to get us going for today. So in source number one, we see here Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah here tells us, what is a love that is not dependent on anything? What does that mean that it's not dependent? It's a little bit vague so far. What does dependency and independency mean? So he says, Ahava she'ein la hefsek, hu afal pi she'ishara adam, she'agia lo k'tzas hezek, v'kolon. Even if there is going to be, basically, negative consequences to me, this relationship will cause me some level of damage. He says, "Ktsas hezek v'kolon," right? It's not total damage, but it will have negative consequences to me, like the relationship of David and Yehonasan. She'afal pi shehaya ro'i la'amod b'makom aviv, v'David haya asid lahasir aso me'amachos, even though Yehonasan was future king, and David is going to be the one who is going to take that away from him. So that David himself was a threat to Yehonasan's future well-being or future ability to do what he was, I guess, growing up thought he was going to do, to be the king. Im kol zeh haisa ahava so imo bekesher amitz. Even though there was this damage, this negative consequence of this relationship, the relationship was still strong. So that's how Rabbeinu Yonah frames what it means to be an Ahava She'eina Tluya B'davar. Now, I'm not enamored by this explanation, because so far all we have is that if the relationship has some level of negative consequence for me, but I'm still strong in the relationship, then that is this paradigm of what independent, unconditional love is all about. One reason I'm not so enamored by it is because it could, in theory, be taken as in the wrong direction here, in terms of sometimes love has negative consequences, and though that's not something that's necessarily meant to be promoted, right? That's not something that we're necessarily so excited about. So there's some danger there in terms of we need to iron out what those, what's a healthy negative consequence and what's an unhealthy negative consequence of a particular love relationship. But let's isolate that for a moment and assume here that we're talking about a negative consequence that's not unhealthy. But even that is not so clear. So they have a very strong connection, even though there's some level of damage that is incurred by this relationship to my own stature, to my own well-being, I'm not exactly sort of head over heels in love with this answer. I think we need to develop it a little bit more. So let's look at the Rambam. Source number two. The Rambam says, Kol ava shitzliya b'davar batel, batel davar u'batla ava. Once that thing is gone, the love itself is gone. But she'ena tzliya b'davar batel, eina b'teila la'olam, then it's never going to, if it's not conditional, it's not going to ever cease. The love is never going to cease. So what does this mean? So v'atayodea she'elu asibos hagashmios kulan yibatlu v'yasuru v'yischayev sur mischadish b'sur sibaso. So the Rambam here frames it for us. That what does it mean to be dependent? What are we dependent? What is the love dependent on? So he says it's dependent on gashmias. Gashmias means physicality. There's some level of material gain, physical gain, sense gain, pleasurable gain that is the impetus for this love. And if that's the impetus, if that's what the love is about, it's just about gashmias, physicality. Then the second that physicality leaves, then the love itself is going to dissipate. Lefichach im haisa sibas ahava inyan eloki. If, in contrast, the love is a spiritual love, something divine, v'hu hamada amiti, that's the essential way, the essential rubric in order for us to view things, hare osa ha'ava I efshar sura l'olam, that type of love can never dissolve, ho'il v'sibaso mechuyeves ha'metzius, because the essential elements of that love are based on spiritual, divine aspects, then that itself is eternal, so the love is also going to be eternal. So this answer gives us a little bit more, so now we have a distinction between physical love and spiritual love. But if we think about it a little bit more deeply, it's still a little bit abstract. It's not that practical. What does that mean to have a spiritual, divine love? How does that apply in a relationship on a practical level? I think in the contrast, you can see and understand if you flip it in terms of what the dependent love on gashmias, on physicality, I think we could understand that if it's a passionate love that's just dependent on me satiating a physical desire, then once that physical desire is gone, then the love itself is gone. So that I think we understand on a pretty concrete level. I think we all can relate to that in terms of what the negative aspect here that we're trying to dissuade. But I think it's still a little abstract in terms of the positive aspect that we're trying to promote, which is this love that's unconditional, that has this spiritual element to it, a divine element to it. I think we still need to develop that a little bit unclear. So let's go to the next source, the Pirkei Moshe.
But don't you mean like the Ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, this kind of thing?
Okay, so good. So does the Rambam mean a divine, meaning my love for God? That's not exactly what he's saying. So some commentaries, and we were gonna save this for the end or maybe next week. Some commentaries do broaden this Mishnah from just an interpersonal love to a more divine love, both the love that we have towards the divine, as well as to the love that God has for us. I don't think that's what the Rambam's talking about. I think the Rambam's talking about interpersonal love that has spiritual elements to it. So, again, still a little bit unclear, still a little abstract. We'll develop it more by the end. Hopefully we'll have a better picture. So let's look at the Pirkei Moshe.
But the examples that he's giving are very much of the here and now. Amnon and Tamar and David Yonatan. So it's not just the spiritual man man to God. It's man to man here.
Right, exactly. So I think that that's my point to Rabbi Shiloni, is that the love between David and Yohanan is an interpersonal love. It's not between man and God. So we'll see. Again, there are going to be some commentaries who are going to look at this as a sort of a metaphor for that broader relationship. But it's clear on the pshat level, right, on the simple words, that we're talking about an interpersonal love that has to do with something divine. Okay, we're going to try to spell out a little bit more what that might be. So let's look at source number 3, the Pirkei Moshe. So he says as follows, V'hitchil b'kol arishon. So he started off with the part that I didn't cover for you, is he elaborates on the progression within the chapter that, you know, we're sort of going from, as I mentioned to you before, the whole list of the 4 different types of personality traits in the different elements. And now we're transitioning to the second part of the Mishnah. So he says, V'hitzchel b'kol arishon, v'omer kol abba shitzuya b'davar batal davar batla abba, she'ena tzuya davar eino batel olam. So alkein gidrim b'ofnei mine ahaba. So we're going to start with understanding different types of love. V'hine, Lidati, Higdilu Eitza, Hifligu Toshia, Vichachma Vidas Bidivarium Elus. There's a lot of depth and wisdom in what he's saying. Asher Kolu Behem Kol Ofane Minia Havos, Bechol Prate Chalkeim. So even though we only have 2 different extremes here of examples of what love, dependent love and independent love are, he says that inherent within this, there's actually a lot of subcategories and a lot of things that are inherent within what we're talking about. Asher herich behem afilosof b'mamar ashmini v'atshi b'sefer amidos. So he quotes here Aristotle, and he says that this discussion of love was elaborated on in his sefer on ethics. V'hine afilosof kefia chakira ra sha'avos hayu shlosha minim shonim. So he, Aristotle, looks at it from 3 different types of love. What are the 3 different types of love from Greek philosophy? Vehem, hatov, vehaarev, vehamoil. What is tov, arev, and moil? B'cholkech kol echad mehem vehem rabo. And then there's subcategories of that as well. So tov is what's good. Arev means it's pleasurable. Moil means I get some benefit from it. So what we're going to see, he says that even though Aristotle has 3 with subcategories, our Mishnah has only 2 because we're going to put 2 of those 3 into 1 category. So let's see that in more depth here. Va'atana ha'loki, libo ra shekulam nikbetsu ba'u b'shnei kololim. Our Mishnah looks at it that it's not 3 categories, rather 2 categories. V'heim, avas ha'tov va'avas ha'arev. This either love for the good, for what's right, for what's correct, and then there's love of pleasure. Ki avas hamoil lo yuchsaf rak mitzara arvus sharav lo oev hatoelas hahu kim lo yarev lo yivakshu bli suffix. So he's putting arev, which is the pleasurable, and moil, which is the beneficial. He's putting those 2 together in terms of dependency. So we have our dependent love, which is dependent on feeling good, getting some benefit from it, and then independent love, which is the tov, which is for the, is just love that's for the good on its own. V'hichakir yikara l'razal v'dik d'knachon. The Pirkei Moshe, Rabbi Amos Nino, says that he likes this better than Aristotle's 3, you know, tripartite division, rather likes this 2-part division between what's tov and then what's beneficial. That's that's the reason why there's love, either for good or for some benefit for me. V'nimsa shekol ahavos b'chol chalkein la'alfim l'rvavos, all the 1,000 different permutations that you can have here. Zulas avas hatov, unless it is love of good, kulam nichlam tachas min ahavas arev, then automatically it's going to be this beneficial, pleasurable love, which is not, it's in contrast to the love that's good. And so those are our 2 categories. Beneficial, pleasurable, that's 1 category, and then love of good, which is the 2nd category. As of right now, it's still a little abstract. What does that mean, love of good? But we still have time to develop it. Leficha chaya klala ola bezeh, shekol ava shitzuya bedavar, v'hu ha'arba. So if it's dependent on something, what is it dependent on? So it's dependent on some level of gain for me, a personal gain. Kimo, Shemivar b'mashal prati b'shnei o'avim asher aisa avasa arev etzla b'haflaga v'yavos Amnon v'tamar. And that's what we see in the example of Amnon and Tamar. Hine ahava hi lo tie nitzchis. That's not going to be an eternal love. Ki ein hasmadasa rak kolzman shetatmid hasiba. The only reason why the love is ignited is because of the reason is because there's a dependent reason that love is being ignited. V'hua arvasu, it's because it's pleasurable. Kimo shekara la Amnonim Tamar kenoda, and that's the case of Amnon and Tamar. V'chein b'chol ava she nitleis b'davar acher b'batel adavar ahu. Anything, any love that's dependent on something else, once that thing is gone, asher ba'avur ha'isava, that which caused the love, tibatla'av, then the love itself is going to disappear. Uliosa arvusahu mitzad mikra gashmi, since, like the Rambam, he says, it is a physical love, asher yifsad behefsad achomer, which will disappear once the physicality itself lessens, Hine behefset hayofi, i.e., if the person is no longer beautiful for some reason, or at least subjectively, hagorem haarbos, or the thing that's causing that beauty is no longer there. Kasher yemikre mafas davar chomri yifset haarbos ubehefset habitla arbos tibatla abba. Once that pleasure ceases to be, then the love itself ceases to be. So we're going to continue for a second, but let's just take stock of what we have so far. Until this point, he's basically, taken Aristotle's three parts, put it into two parts, which is basically, if it is what is good for me that is dependent, if it's pleasurable. Now, that could be physical pleasure. In theory, it could be other types of pleasure that aren't necessarily physical in nature. But he seems to start off broadly speaking by saying any sort of benefit that I get, and then at the end sort of flips to more of a physical benefit. So we might need to tease that out a little bit. Are there not, like the Rambam said, physical benefits? Are there non-physical benefits to a relationship that are also dependent? So we want to spell, we don't know that yet. But the second part that we still need to develop also is, what is this tov? What is this love that's dependent on just tov, on good? How is that eino tsluya bedavar? That is independent love. What does that mean to be that it's based on good? Rambam framed that as Eloki, as being divine or spiritual. Here we're framing it as tov, good. But again, still abstract. We don't know what that means. So, he continues. If the love is good because it is essentially based on something good, and it's not dependent on anything that is connected to physicality, because once it's dependent on physicality, then it automatically means that it is something that can degenerate, because our physicality, our chomer, degenerates. So if it's dependent on chomer, on physicality, it will eventually cease, and with that ceasing of the physicality, the love itself will cease. But something that is dependent on tov, which is this abstract goodness we're talking about, is not physical in nature. So that type of love, dependent on this good, will never dissipate. And that's David and Yonasan. It was love that was just based on good. And good never ceases. Physicality degenerates. Good never ceases to be. So the love will never cease to be. Okay, so we have a little bit more. Not convinced I know what he's talking about yet, because what does that mean, the goods never cease to be? What happens if they stop being good? Right? Let's say either David or Yohonasan, decides to be mean to each other. What if Yonasan goes off the deep end and finally realizes, father gets to him and he finally realizes that, you know, David is a threat to me. Does he not, you're saying he doesn't have the free choice to switch his personality? You're going to take away his Bechira? That can't be, right? So obviously, even good, right? My point right now is that we still don't know exactly what we mean here. Good can be dependent, right? My actions of good can be dependent on me. I have free choice to choose good or to choose bad. So if David or Yonasan chose bad, so would the love not cease to be? Is that what we mean? So again, I don't think we're fully clear in terms of what this independent, non-contingent love really is. If you're just using this word tov, or even Eloki, spiritual, divine, I'm not really sure where we're going yet. So now, Pirkei Moshe continues. U'masheroi ledaktik al pi darcheinu zeh. Lefi dati b'divrei hatana. So I think he says, I think that we have to go in the following direction. Hu shelo amar kol ahava shli teluya b'davar, bihi batel adavar b'tela ava. Says that it's a very close reading of the Mishnah, and he argues that it doesn't say that any love that is dependent, shelo amar kol ahava shli teluya b'davar, any love that's dependent on something, if that thing ceases to be, then the love will cease to be. That's not what it means. It's a very nuanced point. He's saying that Rak Amar Batal Hadavar Batla Abba Shem Shtei Gzeros Asher Atolda Mehem No Das Pa Atzma. He says it's not a question of if a dependent love stops, then the love itself will stop. It's a matter of when. Any dependent love will stop. Kiratza Tana Lodia Lanu Shoresh Adrush Mikaro Baomer Batla Dover Batla Abba Klomar Kishitia Abba Tsuya Bedavar Kamosha Biarnu. Once the love is dependent, Liosa Dover Hu Mikra Davik Bechomer Ain Lo Tavanitzkis, then definitionally it will not last. So right, there's two ways to understand the Mishnah. One way is to understand that if a love is dependent on something else, if that thing ceases to be, then the love will cease to be, right? An if-then contingency. But in theory, let's say I love something, let's just use his terminology, I love something for a physical reason. So if I get lucky, then maybe I can love that thing for my whole life for the physical reason, because the physical reason is always there. But he's saying that's not what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying is that it's definitional, that it will cease to be. Anything, any love that is dependent on physicality will not last. Not it may not last. It will not last. Okay, so it's a little bit of a stronger formulation in terms of what the Mishnah is saying. So there's a lot on the line here. However we define physical, that means that according to the Pirkei Moshe, the love's not going to last. We're going to define vaguely for now this other type of love, this David and Yohonasan type of love, which is either, in his terminology, love that is tov, or in the Rambam's terminology, love that is Eloki, that has some spiritual, divine element to it. But maybe I'm being annoying here, but I'm still not sure what that means. Right? It's still too abstract for me to be able to say, that's the type of love that I'm going for. Here's the formula to try to get it. And that's what, you know, that's what I'm going to aspire to. So we still need a lot to develop here. Let's do source number 4. We'll just do outside. The Maharal just points out that these two examples are on the extremes. There could be other examples and other situations. This was inherent in the Pirkei Moshe, where he said that there's, you know, 1,000 permutations of these different types of loves. But these are paradigms. David and Yohonasan is the paradigm of love that's not dependent on anything. And Tamar and unknown were the examples of a paradigm of love that's totally dependent on something, but you have these sort of middle frameworks to deal with also. I think it's just important. We're not important enough as of now to read it inside, but important to keep that in mind, that these are paradigms, but there are other permutations, and that'll become clearer towards the end. So for now, I think we're going to have time to do one more source. And then again, we'll come back to this next week. We have, for those who came on a little bit late, there's another shir at 10 o'clock starting, so we're going to have to stop soon. But let's do one more source of the Tiferes Yisrael, who I think will help us towards a better, more complete answer, but it's not going to get us all the way. Got to leave it for a little bit of a cliffhanger for next week. So Tiferes Yisrael writes as follows. He says, Rotze lomar, bidavar. What does this mean that it's talui bidavar? It's dependent on something. So bidavar emtsa'i. It's a something in the middle. Shehu chutz miguf ha'oev anev. That's independent of the body or the personalities of the two people we're talking about. So the love is dependent on something external to the selves of the beings. Kigon, avas ha'adam limativo. If I love somebody who does something good for me, she'eno ohev es ha'nehav, rak es ha'davar she'yekabal hu mimenu, gam ba'asid, v'nimse she'rak es atzmo ohev. So if I love you because you get me things, then I don't love you, I love the things. Right? And then if in theory you stopped getting me things, then I wouldn't love you anymore. Right? So that type of love is actually, he frames it as self-love. Right? When I say, I think I once heard this from Rabbi Tatz, you know, when I say I love fish, I don't mean I love fish. It means I love myself and I love eating fish. Because if I really loved fish, then I wouldn't kill them and eat them, right? So it's, I love myself because I love the taste that fish gives me, so I eat fish. Now, he continues, v'she'eino tuli b'davar, if it's not dependent on something. So dependent on something means dependent on something external. Not dependent on something is rak b'teva, it's natural. What is this natural love? Ka'avas adam levanavu mishpachto. So interestingly, he says that this love that's not dependent on something is a love that a person has for his children or his family. Now, that's why is that interesting? Because that's not the example the Mishnah gives. The Mishnah doesn't say a love that's not dependent on something is the love of a family member. The Mishnah says it's David and Yohanan. They were not family members. But he's telling us that he thinks that this independent, unconditional love is love of family. And I guess you can, you know, analyze your own family if this is a true statement, right? But in theory, family love or a love a parent has for a child, preferably, should be unconditional. So that's one possibility. Or he says, oh, behasechel. Or it's an intellectual type of love. What does that mean? Shiava adam es esek ha-chachma, Ves hanhaga hayishara, ves hayira shamayim. So this is important because he's spelling out a little bit more what I think the Rambam and the Pirkei Moshe were saying, which is that this is love of either wisdom or love of good ethical moral behavior or of fear of heaven. Those I would put as a spiritual love. I think he's adding here something that we have not seen in the Rambam yet. So he's spelling out in more detail what I think the Pirkei Moshe and the Rambam were talking about by the spiritual love. It's love of wisdom, love of ethics, love of fear of God. But he's also adding this family love. That was not inherent in the Rambam and the Pirkei Moshe. And he says, the kishenishal oso lama yeah of kol ela. If somebody asks you, why do you love your family? Right, you're not supposed to say I don't, right? But if somebody asks, why do you love your family? The answer is, eino yodei la seislanu tam bedavar. I can't articulate that. I can't spell that out for you. Zeu ava she'eino talui b'davar emtsa'i shebeina oev l'nav. That is love that is not dependent on anything between us. It's not an interpersonal dependency. It's an independent love. It goes deeper than that. It's inarticulate. I can't articulate it. And it goes to my core. So that is love that's not dependent on anything. Aval shiyav adam lechacham. So now, but we're going to end with this. He's going to sort of give us a caveat here. Aval shiyav adam lechacham. Let's say I love somebody who is wise. Not wisdom, but somebody who is wise. Ulabal midos yisharos. I don't love the concept of ethics and morality, but I love somebody who embodies ethics and morality, or a tzaddik, who embodies, let's say, Yirat Shamayim. Gam kein mechashev tuliya bedavar. That is dependent. Why is that dependent? Dehare kishiyafsik hachacha mila'asuk b'chachma, batel davar v'ti batel ha'ava. Because if that person who you look up to and is your role model all of a sudden is in the newspaper because of a scandal, then all of a sudden you don't love them anymore. Miu shalotita lomar avas. So that's really important. That's an important caveat. It's not the person that I love when it comes to family. I can't articulate it. Independent, fine. But the person who I love because they embody goodness, that is dependent because at some point they might stop embodying goodness. So we're going to have to realize that as we get to next week. How do you deal with David and Jonas on that? Because that sounds like it's dependent on the person, not family love. And it's dependent on how they're acting, but they can stop acting in a certain way and then the love might actually dissipate. Finishing off the paragraph, Miu shlo tite lomar abas niuf gam ken yechashev ein etzli b'davar emsai. Dere yofi shel anavos kshur begufo lachi sholatana ezo. So now he says, okay, well I just told you one type of dependence, so it's dependent on behavior, but there's another extreme example of dependency, which is dependent on physical gratification. And for that, obviously, is dependent on the body, and the extreme example of that is going to be Amnon and Tamar. Delo es Tamar av rakis atzmos. So Amnon didn't love Tamar, he loved himself. And once the pleasure went away, avor anah shehi mitzapa la'atzmo mimena, v'anah hi davar emsai, that's a contingent love. And once it disappears, shebeino v'anah, then the love itself will dissipate as well. So we're going to end here. And leave it as a cliffhanger. We still aren't fully sure how the love of David and Yehonasan is a paradigm of this love, according to Tiferes Yisrael, if it is dependent on behavior and it is not something that is a familial love, then why is it that that's our paradigm of love? We still want to spell out what the Rambam, even though we're starting to get there, what this Rambam and Pirkei Moshe love that is spiritual love, that is love of good, how that manifests in a practical fashion. And we're also going to elaborate a little bit in terms of the loves that are less, that are dependent, but less of an extreme in terms of their clarity, right? We understand Amnon and Tamar's love as being dependent because it's an infatuation. But are there other loves in between the paradigm of not Tali Badavar, that are not dependent, and this paradigm of infatuation that we clearly see is going to go away? Are there other types of love that are somewhat dependent that maybe we want to elaborate on and understand a little bit better? Again, with the end game, hopefully, to be able to understand this Mishnah better primarily, but secondarily, to be able to manifest this in our lives in some way to better understand our relationships and how our love comes out in the different types of ways that it does with different people. And then eventually we'll try to close off with how this will deal with our love of God and God's love for us. But for that, we'll have to wait for next week. Okay, so guys, it is now time to turn it over to our 10 o'clock special guest speaker. I'll let the rabbi do the introductions, but please stay on. And I hope to see you guys next week.
Thank you, Rabbi. And Rabbi Schiffman, if you could just make Rabbi Sachs co-host.
Sure.